Play from the top, I'm staying. Let me get a track just to make sure I'm...
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to the Lunchtime Foolery Podcast. It's your boy Raheem Dawn back on the mic, and today I have a very special guest, my grandmother Elaine Muhaiman. Say what's up.
What's up, guys?
So I'm just gonna pick her brain a little bit, you know, get a life story from her. You know, you gotta talk to our ancestors sometimes. So just to start it off, where are you from?
Oh, I'm originally from New Orleans, Louisiana. Born and raised there. I went to school there. I lived the majority of my life in New Orleans, and I like going back every now and then just to visit to see how everything is going.
So how was life in New Orleans? Because when I talked to my grandfather, I would assume that your path was different from his, because he was a little integrated with the bad boys in New Orleans, you know, as well as when I have conversations with my father. So how was your experience growing up there as an adolescent?
Well, it was just pleasant to me, because I was the type of person who mainly stayed in. You know, I lived within my home. My mother was very close to us. She always kept us sheltered from the outer world. And every now and then we'll get a chance to kind of like sneak out and hang out with a few of our friends and go places that, you know, we know about, and just enjoy ourselves at that little short period of time in our lives. Growing up in New Orleans, we all played together. We lived close within each other. And it was just like, you know, my best friend lived right next door to me and crossed the driveway from me. You know, we all come out at a certain time and we played together. We played all kind of games, you know. We were really young. Mm-hmm. But
how did you meet my grandfather?
I met your grandfather when I started working in a pharmacy store. He came in. It's a horrible story, but I'm going to tell it anyway. And him and a couple of his little friends, and he was the guy who kept my attention while the rest of them was taking ice cream out of the store and running. And my boss saw this going on, and he told me, he hollered for me to be attentive and watch the merchandise. That's exactly what he said, watch the merchandise, because, you know, they're taking my stuff, you know, Mr. Hills, that was his name. But Yasin and I met that day, and we started liking each other just right off the bat. He said, I'm going to wait for you when you get off from work. And he did. He waited for me.
So he went from stealing from you to date you.
Yeah. And he waited for me, and he walked me home, and we talked, and we got to know each other real well. And come to find out, the relationship that he and I had, it wasn't just that day. It came from a time long before that. Before I moved to the Magnolia Project, I was living in the Desire Project. And his family was living in the Desire Project, in the project right under us. And my mother was their best friend to his aunt. And every time my mother would need to go somewhere, she would send us to stay with his aunt downstairs.
Hey, for real?
For real, really. And I was a young girl then, and they would come and visit their aunt, Aunt Lena Bell, that was her name, and Zelza and their brothers and sisters and all of us, we were just like a big family in that part of the project. But Heart Trouble would come, but I didn't know him at Heart Troubles then. We called him Lloyd.
That's my... That's his brother, right?
Yes, his brother. And Alice would also come. Alice would come, and she would teach us. Everybody had to sit on the steps, and she would just school us, and She had this thing in her to teach. She always wanted to teach all the children. She didn't want the little black kids to not know things. And she was just one of those type people. To this day, she still is. Gasol and I met. Like I said, I was in the pharmacist working that day, and he walked me home. And I never thought our relationship was going to go that far, but it really did. Yeah, we got to know each other real well, and as time went on, we started dating, and it was a little rough road because my mom just thought he was a little bit too old for me, but he hung in there anyway, and things went from one thing to the next. Next thing you know, we were getting married, and we got married, and it was just a great time for me.
So, with y'all meeting New Orleans, my dad's family is also from New Orleans, so it seems like New Orleans is just a place that both of our families coexist, and it has huge significance to us with the history and everything. So, would you ever live in New Orleans again?
To be perfectly honest with you, no.
And why not?
I don't know. I never had a real connection with New Orleans. You know, the holidays come, yeah, we enjoy them, go to Mardi Gras, we do this, we do that. But I always wanted to live somewhere else. I did. And I'm glad we moved from New Orleans. I really am. I'm sorry I couldn't bring all my children with me, you know, like Asia's still there. But I always wanted to live somewhere else, and Atlanta, it's pretty good for me here.
Where are the places you live?
Okay. As a child, I lived, like I said, in the Desire Project. And my mother passed at an early age. And it was me and my brothers and my sisters. And we had to move with one of our mother's family members. And in order for them to do that, the family came together to decide how they were gonna handle us, you know. But my mother, before she passed, she asked her brother to not separate us at all. And he didn't. He kept all six of us. And we lived really good. He was just a beautiful person. He took care of us as though we were his own children. But his time came, and he passed on. And when he passed on, we were left with his wife, Lillian. Her name was Lillian. And she finished raising us to our adulthood, you know. And all of us went on our merry ways. Like I said, I met Yasin, and my brother, he went his way, and my sister, Jamesetta and Barbara, they had their own lives too. We lost one brother, which was Alvin, the youngest of our siblings. And my other brother, Aaron, he moved on to live somewhere else, and he's doing well. But everybody's doing real good with their lives. When I married Yasin, he and I, we always had plans to do things different with our lives. And one was to be very self-sufficient. And yes, we moved from Gentilly to the Magnolia Project. My mother-in-law, she used to live in the projects, and she decided she wanted to move out. And Yasin and I thought it would be a good way for us to save money by moving into the projects. So we did. And our promise to each other was that we would only stay in the project for 3 years. And we did. Yasin and I, we found a house in Gentilly, and we had it built from the ground up. And we moved into that house, and we stayed there for about 6 years.
Is that the house that I've been to?
Yeah, you did. Okay. And that's when my mother-in-law was getting ill. She was sick, and she required attention. And we used to go backwards and forwards to her house to take care of her needs. And then it got to a point where we needed to be there with her more, because the illness that she had was taking over her body. And Yasin and I, what we did was we kept our house for a little while, but we would go and stay with her from time to time, because Alice and Troy and them lived in California, and it would be a hard thing for them to have to commute backwards and forwards to New Orleans. So we took that on as something that we needed to do, Yasin and I. So it got rough after a while. You know, Grandma, she passed on, and it was a rough time for everybody, because she played a big role in our lives, you know, and we all really, really miss her. So we decided to move into the house, so we moved again into another house, and we stayed in this house for about 5 years. That's when the Hurricane Katrina came, and it washed that house out, and we had to find another place to live. And we moved to Zachary, and we became farmers, Yasin and me and Ibrahim, because my children were all grown and on their own. Everyone was attending school, either they were working on their jobs that they worked towards becoming. And life was really good for us, you know. Our grandchildren would come and visit us from Atlanta, Raheem, Akira. Daoud would bring his children from California. Yasin and Juanita and them would come from Atlanta. And we would all get together and have a great time. And the days that they have to leave, it would be so sad, because to see them go was a hard time. But we enjoyed having them, and we knew they had to go back home. But it was a lonely time for Yasin, me, and Ibrahim.
Yeah, y'all were kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, we were. We were definitely in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. So, put it to perspective, Zachary's like right outside of Baton Rouge.
Right.
So,
right.
It's a farm community.
It's a farm. And we were farmers. We became farmers. We shocked the whole neighborhood. A matter of fact, they said, these are city folks, and they're farming more than we farm, and we've been living here all our days. Mm-hmm. But it was a good time for us, you know, it really was. We brought new ideas to people, you know. We just loved sharing what we had and how we did things. That it mainly come from Yasin and Grandma Anita. They were always finding ways to make things better for people and life better for us. It came down to that point where we felt we needed to be closer to the family, because it was just Yasin, like I said, Ibrahim, and myself.
Embellishing and who my Uncle Ibrahim is?
Ibrahim is my oldest son. He has a disability that requires that we have to take care of him. And this disability is something that he was born with, you know. and he enjoyed living in the country because he had an independent life, you could say. He went to work. He had a little work program that he was a part of. He had friends. He enjoyed getting up in the morning and catching his bus and going to work. He felt independent. But now, where we are today, it's hard for us to connect him with a program in Atlanta. It's just so much, so many people trying to get in the programs. Till we've been here now for about 4 years, and we just keep trying to connect and put him in programs, but they're not taking anyone right now in these programs.
Like with COVID?
No, I don't think it has anything. It doesn't have anything to do with COVID at all. Mm-hmm. This came before that. You know, it's just there's a lot of children that require that type of attention,
yeah.
And they don't have the facility to hold everyone. So he's home, and he entertains himself most of the time. He's a collector of music. Books. He likes to go to the bookstores and buy different books, so we take him out and allow him to use his own imagination to do what he wants to do with his mind, you know, with the way he think. So we don't try to change it, because it only causes problems when we try to change him. So we leave him to be Ibrahim.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
But going back to Zachary, so where did you go after that?
Zachary, we moved to California. We stayed in California for about 6 months. And from there, we moved to Atlanta. But what we were doing was, we were trying to give each one of our children some time with us. You know, so when we decided to move into our own home, we gave them the experience of being with their grandparents and the grandchildren of being with us too. But we also stayed with Yasin. We stayed with Najee, Daoud, and Yasin. Yes, we stayed with each one of them for a certain amount of time. I forgot how much. And from there, we did our worldly travels. We moved to Abu Dhabi and stayed with Juanita, Peter, Raheem, and Akira for almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How was your time? Sorry, continue.
We weren't really ready to come home, but situations put us at a point where we had to come home because of Ibrahim. Ibrahim, we didn't want him to miss out on anything that he would be entitled to in his condition, you know. So we came home, and we...
Before we talk about that, you know, you moved in with us in Abu Dhabi, so that's
yeah,
it's a pretty big thing for you to live into a different country,
back.
You know. So
I gotta go back.
Okay. So, I mean, how was it like there for you?
Living in Abu Dhabi, to be perfectly honest with you, we did not want to come home. We didn't want to leave Abu Dhabi. Abu Dhabi had Etna. I say in Abu Dhabi, but I should be saying
Dubai.
Because it had everything that we wanted. We were Muslims already, so it wasn't a hard thing for us to get into. We had my grandchildren, and at one point we were surprised by Daoud coming to Dubai, and it was just a great time for us. I'm trying to get the rest of the family, to make this trip to Dubai, so everybody could see what it's like to live there, to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really beautiful. So we stayed with Raheem and Akira and Juanita and Peter, like I say, almost a year. And then we came home and we bought a house. And we've been here ever since.
So you said that when you moved in with us out overseas in Dubai, that's when your worldly travels started. What other countries have you gone to?
South Africa, the UAE, and Saudi Arabia was highlights of my life. But my journey for my responsibility as a Muslim was Hajj. That was what you might call the icing on the cake, you know, to be able to say that I fulfill my obligation as a Muslim to make my journey. My husband and I, we made our Hajj journey together. And it's something that I will never, ever forget. Only problem is I lost all my pictures in Katrina. But the memory is within me, and it'll always be there. Meeting the people and being a part of the Hajj was everything that I thought it would be, you know. It really was. Seeing the beautiful mosque and the different people from all over the world, you could actually say, you know, people with problems walking, people who couldn't walk, people who were literally dragging their bodies to fulfill the obligation of Hajj. Mm-hmm. And I saw this in talking to people from different countries. It was so inspiring that, you know, you just wanted to just know everything you could, you know. And Yasin and I, we lived a part of our life that we don't ever want to forget, and that was Hajj.
That's what's up. You know, I really relate with that too. Having that international connection with other people, speaking with people from numerous miles, different countries across the world. You can name a country, I probably have a friend from it. You know, so it is inspiring, and it makes you more aware of like worldly matters. You're more culturally aware of things. But for the last question, I want to bring it back to your kids, because I don't think we talked about it enough. So with your kids' upbringing of living in, you know, the Magnolia Projects of New Orleans, to who they are now, the globetrotters they are now, and the levels of success that they've reached, I just want to get your feelings on that from their come up stories.
What they reached in their lives was the goals that they set for themselves. We talked about it. Each one of my children, I've discussed what are their plans. What are you planning for the future for yourself? We had teachers. We have engineers. We have principals. We have doctors. We have
majors in the military.
And I could sit here and talk about my children all day long, but they have proven to me what their lives and their jobs and their family is worth to them, and how they are striving to live a life that their father and I have forged together to make things possible for what we have. My children have done amazing things in their lives to forge their lives the way they're going now, to be who they want to be and what they want to be. And that makes Yasin and I very proud of them, to know that they are setting examples for their children. And I am confident that my grandchildren will strive to be just as great or better than their parents.
Yeah, Mama, I definitely feel that. Me personally, I hope that I'm setting a good example for the younger generation coming behind me. Me being a Howard student, Howard University, HU, and just achieving what my parents want me to achieve, achieving what I want to achieve, getting my degree in the proper allotted time that I'm supposed to, and just making sure that the younger ones see me and see what it can be and see it's possible. Even though they're really young, but they will grow up eventually and they will see the example that is in front of them. So, but it's always great talking to you. And I wanted to make sure I captured this gem and be able to show this to my kids. So your great grandkids get an idea of who their grandmother is, as well as their grandfather. So, but that was the Lunchtime Foolery Podcast, y'all. Peace.